Isaiah 7, 10 through 14, and I'll read in Jesus' name. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." And he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that gift of your Son, that first Christmas Eve, that first Christmas, and we celebrate that birth at this time of the year. And Lord, we thank you for opportunities that we have to be with loved ones at this time of the year. We pray, Lord, for your comfort for those who are missing loved ones who either have passed away recently or who cannot be together during this time of the year. But we pray for your comfort for each one of us tonight. And Lord, may we focus on Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us and receive our comfort that goes beyond any circumstance of life through what he has done for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask your blessing. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. During Christmas time, you anticipate, especially for the young ones here, you anticipate what present you might be getting. And if you have the presents already under the tree, maybe it's a little temptation to take a little peek or to shake up the box a little bit and see if you can figure it out. And I know some good detectives here maybe have already figured out a few things. Maybe some sneaky detectives here have already unwrapped a few packages to take a little peek inside. We found out some of the details about the Nelson family over the years, and some of our older kids, as they were home for an early Christmas celebration, kind of admitted that, yeah, every year we unwrap presents, and I'm not saying that to teach you a lesson, because don't imitate some of my kids. But anyway, we get excited about what might be under the Christmas tree, and of course, the first Christmas was the greatest gift that was ever given, the gift of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't a new thing, but it was something that we see all throughout the Old Testament scriptures and the great details given in the New Testament about his birth and how it came about. We have the prophet Isaiah speaking to Ahaz and offering, on behalf of God, offering for Ahaz to ask anything, any kind of sign from God. And it seems like his response is a humble, even a pious response. "Oh no, I'm not going to ask anything from the Lord. I don't want to test the Lord." Well, it was the Lord saying, "Ask." And Ahaz, King Ahaz said, "No, I'm not going to." Verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12, the Lord told Ahaz to ask for a sign. "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it as deep as Sheol, as deep as the grave, or as high as heaven." In other words, ask, and there are no limits. Ask whatever you would for a sign, and I'll give it to you. Ahaz, according to one commentator, was to ask for a sign from Jehovah or Yahweh his God. Yahweh did not scorn to call himself the God of this son of David who had so hardened his heart. Possibly the holy love with which the expression "thy God" burned might kindle a flame in his dark heart. Or possibly he might think of the covenant promises and covenant duties which the words "thy God" recall to his mind. From this, his God was to ask for a sign. And in verse 10, or 12, excuse me, he said, "I will not ask for a sign, nor will I test the Lord." And it sounds like a wonderful statement, a humble statement. He didn't want to test the Lord, but again, when the Lord invites, put God to the test in this way, then the response is a response of faith rather than a response of unbelief. Someone has said Ahaz's unwillingness to ask for a sign was not piety, but the opposite, since he intended to invite the aid of Assyria and cared nothing for Jehovah. He was going to ask Assyria for help, so he didn't want to ask God for help because he had his plans already made. And his unwillingness to ask a sign from God, his unwillingness, in his words, to put God to the test was not because of his faith, but because of his lack of faith and his prior plans to make an alliance with Assyria. Verses 13 and 14, we see that the Lord himself, even though he invited Ahaz to ask a sign of him, Ahaz refused to do so, and so the Lord himself gave Ahaz a sign. A sign for not only Ahaz, but also for the generations that followed. In verse 13, we see the Lord rebuked Ahaz, first of all, through the prophet Isaiah. Listen now, O house of David. And basically, this is bad enough. It is too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men. And this is worse, that you try the patience of my God as well. Isaiah, a spokesman of God, prophet of the Lord, saying, you might try other people. You might put their patience to the test, but now you're doing it to God. You're doing it to God. In verse 14, the Lord gave this sign. The Lord himself will give this sign. The virgin shall be with child. And of course, that's not the normal order of things, is it? But it's repeated in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 as well. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, you will give birth to the Messiah. She, like many other Jewish women throughout the centuries, were waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise through his prophets of the Old Testament. And here, when finally that news was delivered to Mary, she said, but how can this be since I'm still a virgin? And that is stated several times, again, showing that it's not a normal birth, not a normal conception for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is not just a mere man, he is the God-man. And that's why Jesus is called Emmanuel, God is with us. The virgin will bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew's inspired commentary on this passage we find in chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. And again, Matthew, especially in his gospel, looking at the Old Testament scriptures and showing how Jesus is the fulfillment of all these prophecies. He is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham and to David, that through him, through his seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And to King David, that he would not lack a man to reign on his throne for all of eternity. Matthew chapter 1:19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And then let me read from Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a child, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth is also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. the miracle of the conception of Jesus, Jesus who is God from all of eternity, to all of eternity, at one time in history, took on or assumed a human nature and lived a life of obedience to his earthly parents, Joseph being, of course, his stepfather. He also lived a life in perfect obedience to the law and will of God as revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. He fulfilled for us all the demands of the Old Testament law. Not only did he do that, but when he suffered on the cross, he was suffering not because of anything he had done, but to bear the penalty for your sins and mine. He lived a perfect life as our substitute, thereby fulfilling the law of God for us. He suffered and died and paid for our punishment, also fulfilling God's will for us, so that by faith in him, we might be assured that our sins are forgiven, and that we have peace with God, peace with our Creator. What a joyful time to get together with friends and family and celebrate Christmas together. What a joy. Sometimes we don't see our families except for on some of the holidays such as this. But the greater joy is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. The greater joy is to know that you have peace with God because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. And we can walk in that peace. Again, not a peace dependent on the circumstances or what present might be under the tree. Because guess what? Sometimes people get the wrong thing. But the gift that all of us need is a gift of eternal life. The gift of the forgiveness of our sins. And through faith in Jesus, that gift is ours. And we can tell other people about that gift. And that gift brings a peace and a joy all the days of our life. Again, not a joy and a peace dependent on the circumstances of life, because guess what? We live in a sinful and fallen world, and things don't work out the way we want them to, and people suffer and people die. People are diagnosed with diseases, and Christians aren't spared of those things. God certainly can and does heal on some occasions, but eventually, unless Jesus comes back again, we're going to face death as well, aren't we? Jesus is the greatest gift. Jesus is the meaning of Christmas. And it's through faith in him that we can have that assurance, that we can walk in that joy, and that we can have that confidence that I have a home in heaven. Not because of what I've done good, but what Jesus has done on my behalf and on your behalf. Amen. Merry Christmas.